This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Tess Vigeland. It's been almost 4 years since Lehman Brothers went under and the world's financial system started to spin out of control. The fall of 2008 was all about Henry Paulson's bazooka, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP, $700 billion in bailout for the banks. The bailout legislation created a special inspector general at the Treasury Department to oversee where all that money was going. Neil Barofsky performed the job until he resigned early in 2011. Now he's out with a tell-all book of his experiences in Washington, including the time he was pretty sure Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner was about to haul off and punch him. It's called Bailout, an inside account of how Washington abandoned Main Street while rescuing Wall Street. Neil, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I have to tell you, reading this 4 years after the fact, it's amazing to remember that the original TARP document was all of 3 pages, and it was completely designed to help homeowners by buying up troubled mortgages.
There's a remarkable transformation of the bill as it made its way through Congress. And it's important to remember that this was part of the legislative bargain, that TARP doesn't get passed just to help Wall Street, that Congress insisted that there be foreclosure prevention and homeowner-oriented programs as part of TARP. And those promises are, of course, subsequently abandoned. And part of it was there was never the same type of ferocious commitment to helping homeowners and addressing the housing crisis as there was to saving the banks.
You talk about TARP essentially becoming just a giveaway. Can you talk about what you mean by that?
Well, when the TARP money was expended, hundreds of billions of dollars were provided to the banks under the Capital Purchase Program. We were told that it was for certain purposes. It was going to help restore lending. And one would assume that since those were the goals of the program, that when providing the money in the contracts and in the policies, there would be something to advance those goals. But none of that was present. So essentially, the money was given with a very below market interest rate and with no conditions to accomplish those goals. And the banks were pretty much allowed to do anything they wanted with it. And, you know, when I started pushing back on that and when I suggested that we needed to have some additional conditions, I was told essentially that I was advocating something that would drive the banks out of the program, that I would end TARP. I was told that I was stupid. I was told that I was being political. And it's just another example of this deference and defense of the banks over what were some pretty basic common sense policies to accomplish our goals.
I want you to explain the concept of reputational risk for us. Essentially, this said that banks would not commit fraud with TARP money because they would be too concerned about their reputations to do so, right?
Over and over again, I heard that argument that I didn't understand, just that these banks would never, ever take advantage because of it would harm their reputations. It was almost as if they didn't realize that in the years preceding the crisis that the banks proved their reputation was perhaps the least important thing when it came to the opportunities to make rapacious profits. I mean, it got so bad, Tess, at one point in another TARP program that a New York Fed official said to me when we're describing Treasury's refusal to adopt some really basic concepts to rein in the TARP participants, he said to me, "You know, Neil, it seems as if Treasury's lips are moving, but that the CEO of one of the big investment houses, Larry Fink, that his words are coming out of their mouth."
To be fair, this was a crazy time back in 2008, 2009. Financial Armageddon upon us. No one seemed to know what was going to happen. So it's easy to criticize now, but can't you maybe just believe that people were trying to do their best under very difficult circumstances?
Tess, that is actually part of the fundamental problem. The lack of diversity in thought, the fact that so many of these individuals come from a Wall Street background, Goldman Sachs, Bear Stearns, Merrill Lynch, meant that when confronted with a crisis, they went with the only thing that they knew. Hmm. You know, I don't think that these people are necessarily fundamentally evil or bad people or sinister. I think they're patriotic people who went to serve their country at a time of a financial crisis. The problem is they don't know anything else. Like, they just don't know anything other than, wow, if this is what the high lords of finance are telling us is the best thing, then therefore it must be the best thing. And what's good for Wall Street is good for America. And that's why when we have another financial crisis, we're going to have these same problems.
Would you ever want to work in government again?
I don't really think that I'm going to have too many opportunities after this book comes out. But look, I'd love to serve again if the time was right.
Well, let me ask you this. What was harder to go after, the FARC, the Revolutionary Armed Forces down in Colombia, which you pursued as a U.S. attorney, or TARP?
There were a lot of similarities, but at least at TARP, nobody tried to kill me.
Neil Barofsky is the former Special Inspector General in charge of oversight of TARP, also known back in the day as SIGTARP. His new book is Bailout, an inside account of how Washington abandoned Main Street while rescuing Wall Street. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.